want to welcome you this morning to a service here at Grace Baptist, which is again from the church library. And we're meeting like this, of course, because of the coronavirus and situation, and again complying with what the president asked us to do and trying to work together as a people to deal with this very contagious virus. But I want to especially greet those from Grace Baptist Church here in Dixon. I welcome each one that may listen to this message. And last night I brought a message to you, try to just encourage you from the Word of God, with the promises from the Word of God, and with the very, the promises, of course, rest upon the very nature of God, which is the focus. We have to consider God himself at a time like this, his faithfulness and his sovereignty and his providence. This morning, I would like to bring you a message from the prophet Joel. And I want to try to ask the question. The question itself is offensive to people to even suggest that this is a possibility. And yet, certainly, we have to take into account the Word of God and the circumstances. And it's right to ask the question, because if the answer to this question is positive, then if we want help from God, we have to deal with what God is trying to deal with us about. Now, the question is the coronavirus a judgment from God? Is God bringing a judgment upon our nation at this time? As I say, that question is very offensive to the modern man. We know that. And we are like Amos in the Bible. We are not a prophet, nor are we the sons of the prophets. But we do believe this, and we understand this from the Bible, that all things happen by the determinate counsel of God. We find that in the book of Acts, taught about the Lord Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross, that he died because of the determinate counsel of God, who the Bible teaches us works all things according to his purpose. Everything he works to bring about an end, a purpose. Now, in many ways, you believe that. You may argue to question, you may be offended by the question, is this a judgment from God? Does God bring judgments like this upon people? Here we're dealing with what the Bible would call a pestilence. The Bible would call this an outbreak of pestilence and in the Bible, we see this at different times, and we do know that there are different ways that God judges. A pestilence, a disease, and in history, we've had these judgments like this. War has been used by God. Natural disasters like earthquakes, volcanoes, things like this. The judgments of God. One of the ways the Bible teaches us that God judges a nation is allows foolish leaders, or determines to put foolish leaders in place. And those leaders then make foolish decisions, and that brings a people down. So there's a number of ways that God does work, and we know that from the Bible. But what we do believe is all things work according to the determined counsel of God, the purposes of God. I say you believe this. Let me give you a verse, James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. It's talking about into our life, every good thing that comes, we attribute that to God. That God brings these good things to our life. And you believe that, and I believe that. We believe that the good comes from God, that God brings these things about. Well, the Bible teaches that even disastrous things, that God brings those about also. And we can agree on this, that regardless of what has happened, we can agree that either God has determined positively for it to happen, or that God has determined to allow it to happen. But we understand what we were saying last night, what we were saying in the previous video, that there is a providence that governs the world, that God governs this world to bring about an expected end. He knows the end from the beginning, and he's working things together to accomplish this end. There's the providence. We're not left to chance. We're not left to man's wisdom. We have God working in all things to bring about his purpose. So we can say that God determined something to happen, or he determined to allow it to happen. When God made man in the garden, put man in the garden, Adam and Eve, first two, our parents in the garden, we understand God knew what would happen. That did not surprise God. He knew it. And he determined, when he made man, he determined that he would allow this to happen. So in one way or another, it comes back to God. God does this. And then we without maybe consciously accepting this, we subconsciously believe that God is in control. Well, let me take you to the book of Joel this morning. Joel is one of the prophets in the Old Testament, one of the, what we call the minor prophets. And they call them minor prophets not because they weren't important prophets, but because they were their messages were limited, short, in comparison, say, like Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, longer, much longer books. So Joel is one of the shorter books, just three chapters here. But something has happened in his time. And he talks about locusts have come in verse 4 of chapter 1. He said, what the gnawing locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust has left, the creeping locust has eaten. And what the creeping locust has left, the stripping locust has eaten. Now he's describing locusts coming through to Israel, in Israel, and destroying everything. And he begins this book by asking a question, and the question has to do with this. He says, listen, in chapter 1, verse 2, hear this. He's talking to the elders of the people. And he says in chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, has anything like this happened in your days or in your father's days? Tell your sons about it. Let your sons tell their sons and their sons the next generation. He says, has anything like this ever happened? That's the question that he has. And he's talking about these swarming locusts that have come and have destroyed the crops and destroyed the trees. And he gives a description of what is taking place. Let me read to you a few other verses. Verse 6, for a nation has invaded my land, mighty and without number. Its teeth are like the teeth of a lion, and it has fangs of a lioness. It has made my vine waste and my fig tree to be like splinters. It has stripped them bare and cast them away. Their branches have become white. And he goes on in verse 10 to say, the field is ruined. The field is ruined. The land mourns, for the grain is ruined. The new wine dries up. Fresh oil fails. Verse 11, be ashamed, O farmers, wail, O vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is destroyed. And then verse 12, the vine dries up, the fig tree fails, the pomegranate, the plane also, and the apple tree. All the trees of the field dry up, indeed rejoicing dries up for the sons of men. So he's describing what is happening in the land of Israel. And how it's come about is locusts. And locusts come through and just literally destroy everything on the vine, everything on the apple trees, as it describes here, everything to do with their crops and food and trees. Basically, what's happened, a famine has been created overnight. Overnight, instantaneously, something has come about in the land of Israel. And he says, has anything like this ever happened before? He said, talk to your fathers. Ask your fathers about it. And then tell your sons about it. Well, you go back to your grandfather and you say, Grandpa, do you ever remember a time like this? Now, if you're old as I am, you remember, as I mentioned, some of the things that have happened along. And you remember Y2K and the fear that took place, and nothing happened, nothing came of that. And you remember the destruction of the Twin Towers and the loss of 3,000 lives instantaneously, and result of that 20 years of war. You remember the financial crash, 2008. Maybe other things that you remember. But here we are, as we've listened to the news in the last few days, and we're watching not just something in America, but across the world. And we're watching, what we're seeing is what is a pestilence, a disease, and a very contagious disease. And what has developed is a panic situation throughout the world, and especially in our country. All you have to do to believe that is go to a grocery store and see the empty shelves and the things that people are buying and hoarding up and taking, and the fear that's gripping. And then we have whole states calling for people to stay in the house. We started with, say, the president saying we shouldn't have meetings of over 50 people. And we're thinking, we've got to deal with that. What do we do with that? Then the next thing we say, we shouldn't have gatherings of over 10 people. And so now, in a few of our states, are telling everybody to stay home. Now, and you say, yes, do you remember anything like this? Oh, it happened so quickly. You have the disease, but then the ripples on the water, as this goes out, you realize that we're dealing with more than disease, we're dealing with an economic disaster. And the president and the Congress and the Senate and the leadership of our country is they're doing all they can to try to prevent this disaster from going. Wow, where can it go? And so they're taking action. And so we ask this question, and I see it on the news. I hear people saying, I don't ever remember anything like this. They talk about it and say, I don't remember anything like this. And so we have this description from the book of Joel. We're not looking at locusts, but we're looking at something that is going across the world, just the same. And the question of Joel is, has anything ever happened like this? And Joel is a prophet, and all he's doing, he's not talking about, at this point, the prophet isn't talking about the future. He does that later in the book. But what he's doing, much like the prophets, most of the messages of the prophets in the Old Testament are not foretelling. They're not telling the future. Most of us think of prophets as always telling the future, but that in the Bible, the prophets were actually preachers for their day, and they would preach the word of God to their people. And then in that message, there was often something about the future, and so Joel does that. But what Joel is doing particularly is he's looking at something that was happening in his day. And he's asking the people, have you ever seen anything like this? And it's very plain from the book of Joel that he believes that what is happening is coming from God. And it has to do with the people. So he asks this question, he gives this description. And then in this book is admonitions. There's always something to do. Preaching always involves something to do. They call that the proposition. What is it you want the people to do? Well, Joel, when he describes, or when he gives the admonition, when he calls for action here in this passage, it's very plain that he believes this comes from God, and he believes that the thing to do is to deal with ourselves before God. Listen to how he puts it in chapter 1, verse 14. Consecrate a fast. Proclaim a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord our God and cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is near. It is come as destruction from the Almighty. Has not food been cut off before your eyes? Our eyes? And gladness and joy from the house of our God? He's saying our food is gone. And our joy is gone. And the gladness that we experience in the house of God is no more. And what he calls for really is the opposite of what our leadership is calling for. And I'm not criticizing that. I'm trying to be in compliance for a few weeks what they're doing. But the message of Job seems to be very relevant, doesn't it? To say, let's proclaim a fast. Let's gather the folks together. Let's cry out to the Lord. Now, let's examine ourselves. In chapter 2, he says this, blow a trumpet in Zion, verse 1. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Excuse me. Well, here he is. His admonition to the people, it's time to seek the Lord. What we need to do is deal with this as a spiritual matter, Joel says. Let me go further in this book, verse 12 of chapter 2. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in loving kindness and mercy and relenting of evil. He will turn away from evil that he has determined, he says right here. So here is this admonition. Joel says, God is speaking to us and says, return. Now, we as a people, whether we say God allowed it or God determined it, every time there's a disaster, every time we go through periods like now, the beginning is to seek the Lord and ask the Lord and begin to look at this. Now, I want to be clear. Every bad thing that happens, it's not always a judgment for sin. But you who know the Bible, you know that our nation has turned from the Bible. And there are abominations that are going on in this country that are unspeakable. And it's offensive to people to tell them. It's in this country, for instance, and at the risk of offending anybody, I would tell you, more dangerous than being in New York City or California where they're really stressing these things, or Washington where many of the deaths have taken place, or places across the globe where it's really hitting. In America, the most dangerous place to be is in a mother's womb. The taking of lives that happens on an ongoing basis. And for we who are believers and believe the Bible and have compassion and mercy, it should be the biggest issue that we're concerned about is the taking of lives that's been going on wholesale in America for profit, for money, to allow people to continue to live outside what the scriptures teach. And we are going to face, if this is not a judgment for it, it's a matter of time before the judgment comes. And then we have to deal with the perversion that's taking place in this country. We have to deal with just abominations that are taking place. Dangerous. The assault on the American family. The foolishness that's gripped us We've come to a place of folly and foolishness where we can't even determine if a baby is a boy or a girl. And children as young as 5 years old, already we're helping determine that child who is born a boy maybe should be a girl, a girl should be a boy. And this is offensive to people now if I tell you that that is offensive to God. But it is offensive to God. With all those things, I would say to you, the most blood that is on our hands is on our hands because of our babies being destroyed. By the way, it's not new. Babylon or the world has always killed its babies. Pharaoh did it when Moses was born, killed the boys of Israel in the land of Egypt. Rome did it when Jesus was born, the slaughter of babies. The message of Joel, has anything like this ever happened? In other words, the pestilence or the locusts. He said, tell it to your sons. Talk to your fathers about it. But then he says, what we need to do is turn to the Lord. Return to the Lord. What that means is to come back to the Lord and allow him to be who he is. He's God. He's sovereign over the world. And you need to understand, and I need to understand, his sovereign right over my heart, over my life. So we have this question, we have this description, we have this admonitions, these admonitions that he gives us here. And then he gives us hope. Hope. Verse 14 of chapter 2. Who knows whether whether God will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him. In other words, if we go to God, if we as a nation could go to God, humble ourselves before him, that's what we need to do. Humble ourselves before God. He says, who knows? God, he may, in mercy, leave a blessing behind him. And then verse 25. He tells us, then I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping locust, the stripping locust, and the gnawing locust. What he says is, I will restore to you the years. I will restore to you. So Joel is saying to these people of Israel, you have this, this is what's happened, but God is merciful. Let's return to God. God, he may leave a blessing behind. And now here is this definite promise from God. I can restore to you the years that the locust has taken. I can give it back to you. What happens quickly can be turned around quickly if God does it. That's what he's showing us here. He says, and then he gives them the hope, the gospel hope. It will come about after this, verse 28 of chapter 2, that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions, even on the male and female servants. I will pour out my spirit in those days. And he goes on to say, and it will come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered or will be saved. What he's doing, he's giving us a hope. And he goes on in chapter 3 to talk about this. The gospel hope. And God is saying to Israel, to his people, I can restore what's been taken. I can leave the blessing behind. And then he gives them that ultimate hope. I'm going to send my son. And I'm going to pour out my spirit. That's Pentecost. And It's going to be, if you call upon my name, you'll be saved. And that's the gospel promise right now. That Jesus died for our sins, according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again. And whoever, with all their heart, turns to him and calls upon the name of the Lord, repenting of their sin, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, will be saved. That's the hope. And then he finally tells us in this passage, not only he gives us this question and a description of what was going on and the admonitions which lead to hope, and repentance always leads to hope. No matter what our situation, when we come right with God, that's the beginning of hope. You may be talking to somebody in despair. You say, how do I get out of the despair? God. Turn to God with all your heart. And you'll find God is loving and merciful and forgiving. And you'll find that God can take your life and restore the years that have been destroyed. Well, here in this passage, he tells us the end of all things. And ultimately, this is, whatever happens, this is why it happens. Chapter 2, verse 27, thus you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other, for my people will never be put to shame. If you've read much of the prophets, you've seen this little statement over and over again. Then shall they know. They will know. He says the same thing in chapter 3, verse 17. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. The message of the prophets were basically similar to what's going on right here. There was a description of the situation. There was a question that provoked people to think about what was going on. And there was always an admonition that showed them there's a spiritual link to what's been taking place. And the spiritual link calls us back to God. And the message of the prophets always seemed to bring us to hope in God's mercy if we repented. But the end, the purpose that God intends in all things goes beyond our temporary situation. It goes beyond our problems. It goes beyond our troubles. The end of all things is the glory of God. God does what he does, ultimately to bring glory to himself. And here in the book of Joel, he says, and then shall Israel know, the people of God will know. You will know that I am the Lord, your God. So what happens in our life, even as believers, we go through periods of time and God is disciplining us and chastening us and dealing with us. And these are depressing times, discouraging times, very difficult times. But in the midst of that, God helps us to see what's going on in your life is because of your relationship with me. And God helps us to see that we must repent and we must return to him if we want the blessing. And as God leads us through dark times, what happens is he makes himself known to us in very uncertain ways, uncertain terms rather, as my grandfather used to say. He makes himself known, the light shines, and the end of all things is the glory of God. Regardless of what you go through or I go through, if the end is that we come to know God, if the end is that we repent, if the end is that we come to know God's blessing and God's presence again in our life, whatever we went through, it'll be worth it. And if our nation, and I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, and I can't say, but I would say this, regardless of what happens, ultimately God's going to deal with us about the things in our nation and what we refuse to do, and that's to come to God. We're offended. We're offended that this might be a judgment. We're offended when people tell us our life is an abomination to God. But anyone who's ever repented and anybody who's ever responded to the work of God in their life, they know it was a good thing. Whatever it is that has kept us from final condemnation, whatever it is that's kept us from the ruin and destruction that comes from sin, is worth it. Whatever it is that brings us into a deep walk with God is worth it. And so here is the end of all things. Now that offends people. But it's the simple truth of the Bible. Whatever happens, it happens to bring people to know God. Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" He said that to Moses when Moses went to Egypt and said, "Let my people go." He said, "I don't know the Lord. I don't know. Why should I let the people go?" It wasn't a very short time. Pharaoh knew who the Lord was. 10 plagues. And the world knew who God was. And it may be that in the end of this, America's going to know who God is. I'm not a prophet. I don't know. But I do know that whatever happens, God allows or God determines. God determines to allow or God determines outright to do it. I say it that way because I don't believe that evil could ever be attributed to God. But I believe wherever there's evil, God allows and he must allow. Now you as a believer, you go through this just, and it rains on the just and the unjust alike, and believers suffer too. We're promised, like I said in the other message concerning this, that God will never allow us to be tested above what we're able, and all things will ultimately work together for our good. And the other promises, wonderful promises in the Bible. We can be assured of this, that whatever happens in the end will be for our good. In the end, whatever God does is for our good. But more important than that is whatever God does is for his glory. And so our prayer should be, we as believers, among other things, we're praying for our leaders, we're praying for our president, we're praying for the Senate, the Congress, we're praying for our local mayors and our state governors and legislators. We should be praying and we should be doing everything we can to submit where we can to the government as they lead us. That's what the Bible teaches us. But our prayer should be that God would be glorified. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If America can be brought to her knees, the land that we raise our children in and our grandchildren in will be a much better place. God be glorified. That's our prayer. That's the message of Joel. Then shall they know. Then shall they know. That's the message of the prophets. Then shall they know. I hope that you know the Lord. If you're a believer, maybe God is speaking to you during this time about how close you are to the Lord. The Bible says, draw near to God, he'll draw nigh to you. You take a step closer toward God, he'll take one toward you. For every step you take, you'll be two closer. And for the unsaved world that is out there, I pray that somehow the message would go out. This nation needs to repent. This nation needs to consider. If this is over in short term, that'll be the mercies of God. Whatever happens is in the hands of God. And I pray that God will be glorified. Let's pray together and we'll close for the day. Thank you, Father, for the time together. Share this word, and I pray for those who listen to this word that you will make it a blessing, that you work in the hearts and lives of American people we would come to our senses, come to our knees, and find the blessing that is left behind for us. God be glorified is our prayer in Jesus' name. And amen. God bless you.